Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Paul Andrews.
Hello.
Yeah.
You're right.
What a lovely day again.
Is it?
Did you not look out?
I didn't notice.
Lovely. I had
it's not that lovely. I have to wear trousers today. I haven't worn trousers for weeks.
Oh,
I've been wearing shorts.
I'm still bare-legged.
You're a girl. You're always bare-legged.
Last time I looked, yeah. Now I've got my bioidentical hormones, of course.
I know. She gave us a demonstration just before we were on an air. Yeah, we're all still suffering from that.
My cockerel walk.
Yeah, yeah. We're all got eye bleach, yeah.
Talking of cockerel walk, so funny.
Cause, I saw that.
What?
I saw that picture you put out.
Which one?
The one that Wayne had a bit of a giggle over.
Which one?
The one of you when you were discussing Ubers not being available in the country.
Which one was that? Oh, the cockerel.
Yeah.
No, there's worse than that. Mm. So my youngest, Che, who's 27, that's how old I am, that's the baby of the family, went to Glastonbury.
Uh-huh.
And he glamped, so he's not really, you know, rough.
Oh, Che, you
honestly, softy. So you know that they don't go to bed till 7 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
There's stuff going on all the time. So he was a wreck. So he came to stay with us for the weekend. He worked from home on Friday and yesterday because they're still homeless, you know, buying their flat.
Mm.
So they're cruising about. And he had taken some photos of people emerging from their tent at Glastonbury, you know, the next day after the whole day.
Mm.
And honestly, I mean, I can't show the video because it wouldn't be fair to the man, but this young gentleman coming out of his tent was so spaced out. He was walking like a cockerel, as if he was on the moon.
All right, okay.
Like, in slow motion. I don't know what he was on or what he drank or what he imbibed, but it was hilarious. So, you know, and Che was, his voice had gone.
Mm.
He was all husky. And I, of course, me being mummy, I was doing all these celery juices for him and ginger root and all that sort of stuff.
I bet he appreciated that.
Yeah, he did. And then he had some hogget yesterday, so he's back off to London now.
Sure.
So I think it's quite brutal. I'd love to go to Glastonbury, but I don't know whether I would. Apparently, and also, you know, they can't go to the loo, so they pee into cups. And then
do we need to know this?
Yeah.
Anyway, you've got a shiwi. You don't need any of
that. I know, but I've got a shiwi. But these men are peeing into cups, and I go, well, then what do they do? Well, they tip it on the ground. And I said, but everybody's in sandals. He said, well, you shouldn't wear sandals. You have to wear trainers. I said, well, I would be wearing sandals.
I wear Wellingtons, I
know. That's probably why they do. So, yeah, that's what's put me off. I'd love to go. Because I watched Blondie on telly from the comfort of my bed. Chrissy Hind was amazing. Did you see any of this, Lucy?
No, I'm more of the kind of rock and roll kind of.
Well, Guns N' Roses were on. Is that rocky enough?
Yes, that was good.
Axl was great. Did you see him?
Bit of Slash.
Do that?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. What a guitarist.
Oh, he's still one of the best.
He really is.
Mm. Just amazing.
And Danny, did you see any of the footage?
I did. I saw Blondie Like You.
Yeah.
It's my first ever 7-inch single.
She does look still amazing. Obviously, she's had a lot of work done on her face, which was sad because it didn't really move, but you can see that beauty.
Yeah.
Her mouth fascinates me. She's got a beautiful sort of what I call a cat mouth. It's what I call a newsreader's mouth. If you look at newsreaders, they all have those sort of cat mouths. But she was great, wasn't she? And she went out to the audience. She walked out to them. She's how old? 70?
75, I believe.
Still wearing Silenx boots and a mini skirt. Hello. That's amazing. And then Chrissy Hynde, like a stick insect, isn't she? Skinny as a rake. She had her black jeans on and still the same haircut that I had in the 80s. And then she brought on her old buddy, Paul McCartney, at the end, dragged him on. I was a bit disappointed. I wanted them to do a duet or something, but Macca came on.
It's an interesting phenomenon from a marketing point of view when people talk about old people. A lot of young people disparage us old people without realising that things have moved on a bit. You know, they think we talk about the Second World War, but of course none of us were born during the Second World War. What we talk about is the swinging 60s and the 70s and the punk movement.
Yeah.
And just because we're all in our 70s now, you know, we're still, you know.
Well, we're not quite in our 70s, are we?
Well, I'm almost.
Hello. No, we're not. But yeah. I like my niece who says, oh, have you heard of this band? And I'm like, yeah, I kind of grew up with them. They're great. What do you mean you grew up with them? I'm like, yeah, they're not that new. They're your discovery.
Which is the band?
It was Fleetwood Mac, my lot are into. They're all going mad about Fleetwood Mac.
There's a rocking thing. Yeah, Guns N' Roses definitely. That particular one was Rammstein, which is a German band and it's a little bit like headbanging kind of stuff. But it's all of those kinds of things where they really think they've discovered it. And
they're
I still remember
it,
my dad having the same expression on his face when I kind of went, Dad, I've discovered Dire Straits.
I'd never heard of them. Not.
It's great.
I saw Dire Straits live in Paris in about 2002.
Where were you?
Brilliant.
In Paris.
At the concert.
Yeah, well, what venue was it?
I don't remember. I don't remember.
And were they brilliant?
They were brilliant, yeah. It was really good.
I saw Tina Turner way back in the 80s with my ex-husband.
Which one?
One of them.
Yeah, and she's had a few.
Yeah, I can't help being irresistible, Lucy. You know, men just want to marry me. But I can still remember Tina Turner and the movement, the way she moved and belted out. But that's what I was thinking of my new husband. So we were watching from the comfort of our bed, Guns N' Roses, Chrissie Hynde, Blondie, not all on the same night. But I said, they're all old bands that we're watching. We're not watching you. Although I did watch Chrissie and the Queens, and he now identifies as a man. He was great. He had bare breasts.
Who's this?
Christine and the Queens. And Christine is now Chris, a man.
Right, okay.
French. He came on with women's breasts with a plaster on the nipple. But after the initial shock, He is now identifying as a man, but his actual show was stonking. You know, he did one song, very dramatic and memorable. So I've been listening to a bit of Christine and the Queens. Google them; they're a very good band.
I may be being a bit out of order here, but still, most of the big super bands and the massive attractive bands, if you like, for big concerts and what have you, are still all knocking on quite old. There's not as many new bands coming along and new acts coming along.
Well, do you think that live streaming does a lot of that? Like, you know, with Alexa and Spotify and things, are bands getting the money now that they would when you'd buy an album?
Yeah,
or a CD?
Because the music business just flips through a number of cycles. Back in the 60s and 70s, from the 50s onwards, most bands and record companies earn their money from sales of records. Yeah, with the invention of cassette tape and the record industry's complete failure to deal with technology over many years, that started to tail off, till eventually it flipped completely on its head, and most big musicians made their money from concerts and tours and gave the records away as promotional stuff.
Rolling Stone started doing.
Absolutely,
Well, I think Mick Jagger is about to get married for about the 15th.
The 98th time.
He's got 100 kids.
So the record industry flips backwards and forwards, and of course one of the problems for the record industry is that they've never made any effort to try and keep up with technology. Yeah, so when cassette tapes came along, they didn't like it because people recorded their music for nothing. And now you're into streaming. And although, you can charge for streaming and it's, you know, they've got methods to stop you copying stuff. It doesn't really work very well, but the record industry's never adapted. Mm. It's still trying to sell albums and tracks.
Vinyl is becoming quite popular, isn't it?
Thing.
I keep saying to my new husband to get out. I've got a really good stereo up in the loft, and I've got quite a lot of vinyl, and so I want to get that out. But yeah, I mean, I listen now to Greatest Hits in the morning because Ken Bruce has moved from Radio 2. Actually, I flipped, so I've been listening to Vernon Kane. I think he's a really good presenter. I quite enjoy him. He's refreshing and he's great. But I still like the music that Greatest Hits will play. So I flipped from Gold to Greatest Hits, and I like Gideon Coe on Six Music, and I also love Huey Morgan on, if you don't listen to it, Saturday morning, Radio 6, Huey Morgan plays some amazing tracks. And he loves me, darling.
I'm into boom radio.
Yeah, well, you're of that age.
I am, yeah, but it's brilliant.
Have you sent our intro into them yet?
No, I haven't. I
what's holding you back?
Oh, God, I'm busy.
We've got 12 years.
I'm busy. No, I love it because I know the words to all the songs.
Yeah. It is good. But it's... I find a lot of new music. I like some of the new music, as I said, Christine and the Queens was great, but I find a lot of it very nasal and very overproduced. Mm. So it's not really even their voice. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does. It's when you're listening to it and they hold a note and you know it is physically not possible to hold.
They're not not Bill Withers.
My brother broke it to me that you can actually do that on live. When they're singing live, you can actually adjust it.
Yeah.
And I was flabbergasted. I mean, that's technology. And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What I find interesting is if you actually go to music venues locally, you get some really good bands.
Yeah.
Mm. But they'll never. It'll be really hard for them to break it because the model isn't. It isn't that easy. You know, it's not like there's a scene and they're looking for the next big thing.
Yeah. Mm.
The next big thing's going to have to be really produced and
absolutely. Yeah.
Really hard to break into. I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think my favourite era also, apart from like Hall & Oates and sort of Nielsen and that sort of, you know, 70s was my thing, but glam rock was great, you know, Slade and T-Rex.
We were chatting about Slade for some reason on Twitter with some people the other day, and somebody said, I wonder if Dave Hill's still got the same fringe. Listen, so I googled it and there happened to be a picture of Noddy Holder and Dave Hill taken two months ago. Well, really?
What have you got?
A comb over.
Oh!
Buck teeth and eaten out of the pub.
Well, he always did look a bit like that.
I posted it back on Twitter. And somebody went, yeah, but what does Dave Hill look like? And that is Dave Hill.
It is sad. I think it's going back to Blondie. Yeah, it's very hard for women getting older in that whole business. And, it's very, very difficult. And I think she held it really well. And Chrissie Hynde, of course, as well. Danny, you haven't told us who you like.
So I've got quite an eclectic mix, but in the last couple of weeks we've seen Depeche Mode at Twickenham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely epic. Been around for 40 years now.
Wow.
And I mean, their voices, what you were talking about earlier, still got it.
Yeah.
One very melodic, one very deep baritone, Dave Gahan. So they were fantastic. And then this Sunday I'm seeing Nile Rodgers and Chic.
Wow. Oh. Where's that?
That's at Stanmer Park in Sussex.
Wow, that's going to be amazing.
It's going to be really good fun. The weather's good. So
I wonder if there's any more tickets for that.
I think there are.
My new husband wanted to take me to the Levellers. The Levellers is not my bag. He's 13 years younger than me. And anyway, so he decided to go, and it was indoors at Gillingham, and it was in this really hot weather we had. So I said, look, I really don't want to go. I'll stay at home with the dog and open a bottle of wine, have some prawns from Wheelers. Mm. And so he took his mate, our best man, Elliot, and they're both 51. So they got there into Gillingham, whatever it was, the hall, and then Gav said to Elliot, are you going to mosh? And Elliot said, no, because my knees are really bad, you know, my knees aren't quite well. Anyway, Gav looked up, next minute, Elliot's got his top off and he's moshing away. And I've got the video of them both like this, like 2 9-year-olds, it's so funny. moshing isn't my thing.
Sort of Depeche Mode, Dave Gahan, my oldest son was at school with his son.
Really? Well, my son's friends with his son as well.
So yeah, okay. Oh, they might know each other.
He gets around, that son.
He probably does. They're in school in Canterbury. Right. Shall we start the show?
Yeah, we could.
That's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll have to start a music show. The Twitter's got...
No, I never thought of that.
The Twitter's got quite lively. Oh, God. Do you know what? It's very odd. Twitter has gone mad. I keep getting, on my timeline, tweets that I said in 2021 that other people, I guess, have... tweeted or something. They keep coming up on my timeline.
Well, because you and I got rate limited months ago, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then Elon kindly did it to everybody for the last couple of days.
Yeah.
What I think's happening is because it's all been rate limited, so not a lot of things have been going on. People have just been finding old tweets.
That must be it. People are searching what I said in 20.
Right. Anyway, Michael Park Surveyors have tweeted, and they say, "Good afternoon, my besties, Vanilla Webb, that's me, and Jill Sirkin, that's her. We'd love a business banking shout out today, please. We'll be listening in to your lovely interactive show." Well, thank you very much. That's Michael Parks, commercial surveyors based in Medway, covering the south east of England. Do give him a follow on Twitter at MPSL. Fantastic. Big shout out to Nurse Liz and Ken Herron and all of our friends in the US. 4th of July.
Oh, yes, happy 4th of July.
Yeah.
And I think traditionally they go to the beach and have fireworks.
Well, it depends where they are, yeah.
Yeah, I was listening to Paul Gambaccini just now driving in, and he said that's what they do.
So, happy 4th of July.
Yeah, and then I saw Tracy 64 somewhere. Let me just find her.
Okay.
My Twitter's gone mad.
Well, while you're doing that, as Sarah Marsh Collins has been on, she says, "Can't wait to hear the cheesy tunage. Looking forward to more banter and hearing more from the local businesses on the Business Bunker Show." Well, thank you, Sarah.
Tracy Ferguson, Tazy64, that's Tazy64, says she's tuned in live, no doubt, with a little cup of something, and she's probably doing some of her artwork while she's listening.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, she is the owner of Plucky's World Cards, and she said she loves to hear how people use the Plucky World Cards. And this is a recommendation from a testimonial from someone. "Since I discovered Plucky's World Strength Cards, my training sessions have got off to a very strong start," they say. "It's amazing how it gets people who've just met chatting like old friends. Personal development, Plucky's projects." That's a really, really good recommendation. Well done.
Cool. I've had a tweet from Athelbray Limited.
Ah.
It says, "Hello, Business Bunker and Vanilla Web, that's me. Cheeky shout out for Kate's first novel." It's Kate Merrin. "It's available from the 21st of July, but can be pre-ordered. And the novel is called The Ties That Bind. And it's available from Austin Macaulay, the publishing company. austinmacaulay.com/book/ties-bind. They say Kate's also available for talks, book signings and selfies.
Ah, oh, that's brilliant.
We'll have to get Kate on to talk about it, won't we?
Yeah, we must. Mm. Somebody else is talking about QuickFund. So I was talking about new husband on a Tuesday. Gets very upset because I'm not there to fuss over him while he works. Because, of course, he's far too busy to ever do anything domestic. So I always go
she
to...
She thinks he doesn't listen to this, but he does.
He does. Of an evening. He'll listen tonight while we have dinner. Mm. So we put it on Sonos. So I always buy him. I go to our local high street butcher, Sermons. And I've got him 2 scotch eggs, I hope he leaves me one for tonight, and a steak and kidney pie. Actually, it's chicken and mushroom pie this time. And I tweeted it out about the shop local hashtag, very important to keep using your butchers. And this lady has said it's Madeline Waugh, 20933. That's Madeline, W-A. "I go to Quick's Barn in Birchington, as all our local butchers have now disappeared. Planners have favoured supermarkets, which have taken over the area. It's very good, and you know the animals are farmed and slaughtered locally. Expensive, but it's the true cost of good husbandry." In actual fact, I was at Quecks Park talking to Nelson Ware, I think his surname is. He's a lovely guy from Kenya, and he's trying to mend my shoes that the dog chewed. 3 pairs of shoes that the Darcy Greyhound chewed.
Blimey.
And I've got some little videos. He's going to come on the Bunker Show later.
Is he?
Yeah.
Cool.
When you give me a date.
What, with your shoes?
Hopefully with my shoes.
Right.
And they're very expensive, my shoes, because they're flip-flops.
Not anymore, they're not, because they've all been chewed.
But he said, he looked at them disdainfully, and because where they're chewed, he can see inside, he said, "These are flip-flops, right? But they are..." Oh, I've got them on, actually. This is an unchewed pair. Okay. So they are...
A wedge for those who can't...
Yeah. Thank you for that, Lucy. I mean, she forgets she's on the radio. Okay. She really does.
Doing the can-can. So he looked at them disdainfully, because where Darcy Graham has chewed through, you can see the inside is just stuffed with material. It's not leather.
Mm.
And they're £140, these, because the micro-wobble. So we were talking about brands and how once you've got the brand, all I wear is flip-flops. I got married in flip-flops because they're great for my metal knee and I can walk miles in them. And he said that he repairs a lot of Louis Vuitton. And he said they all go in exactly the same way and he repairs the same bit on each. Personally, I don't like Louis Vuitton because it's brown. I hate brown. And I'm not mad on particularly big brands, but he is repairing a lot of them, and he's a true craftsman, makes everything from leather.
Sometimes, years ago, I used to work as a management consultant, and years ago I did a lot of work with church shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Very expensive.
Yeah.
I don't know if they do ladies' shoes. They do men's shoes. Anyway.
Yeah, men's
stuff. Brogues and stuff.
Yeah.
Brogues. Yeah, exactly.
That was Scottish, by the way, yeah. In case you didn't know.
Anyway, 25 years ago, they talked me into buying a pair, which were extraordinarily expensive then. They were like 200 quid.
Yeah.
But I've still got them, and they still look brand new.
Wow.
And then once every couple of years, they email you, and they say, if you send them back, we've completely refurbished them as new for 50 quid.
That's incredible.
Which is, you know, and they you get the shoes back, they're like a brand new pair of shoes.
Are they made in England?
Yeah, in Somerset.
That's really, really good. Well, let's get them on the show to talk about it. We could get them on with Nelson.
Yeah, we'll do a shoe show.
Yeah, Nelson is amazing. I don't know if he can.
I can imagine the cheesy tunage for that.
Yeah?
Yeah. But
oh, you got some.
Oh, she destroys my... Danny, she destroys my links every time. I try to produce this show and she just... Oh.
Try again.
No, I've lost the will to live. I really have.
All you said was fart and waved your hand at me.
Yeah. I forgot what I'm even going to do now.
Come on, where's your button?
I'm going to play the cheesy tunage in homage to our first guest.
I love the word homage.
Do you? Yeah. And our first guest is Lucy Druin, and this is for her because she's a skills specialist.
Oh, don't look sad. Oh, yeah. 9 to 5 in your body part.
Yeah, of course.
Why are you looking sad?
Oh, I'm just fed up with you.
It's a lovely intro. Bed and stumbled to the kitchen. Perfect. Ambition, yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the street, the traffic starts jumping. Folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough. It's just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. In the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll your way. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Better getting by, it's all taking and no giving. But you don't mind.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk.
Does your business have great customer service? Are you a successful small or large business? Are you creative or innovative? Whatever your business strengths, you need to shout them out. So what's stopping you? Enter the Kent Business Awards now. Get your easy-to-complete application form from businessawardskent.co.uk.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
The fantastic Dolly there with 9 to 5, in homage to the lovely Lucy.
Thank you.
Lucy Drouin of Kent and Victor Chamber, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure, Lucy, and we're going to talk about the work of the Chamber in general, I guess, in a moment, but you have some specific things that you do there. You work in the area of skills, but tell us your official title and what it is that you do.
So I'm the Skills Programme Manager at Kent Victor, and I'm the lead for the Kent and Medway Local Skills Improvement Plan, which
right.
is a mouthful, let's be honest.
Yep.
But the LSEP, for short, is a Department for Education programme that's set to put the employers at the heart of the skills agenda.
Right.
So we all have that kind of thing. There's a lot of things that need to be done with skills. We've got skill shortages, we've got recruitment shortages, all of those kinds of things. And if we want to find solutions that work on a local level, then we need to work with employers.
Absolutely.
So my job is to make sure that employers' voice is heard, that we talk about what the needs are, what the priorities are, and that we work with the great providers we have in Kent and Medway. We've got a great independent training provider sector, we've got a great FE sector, we've got some great universities, and it's really just making sure that it's there. We also work across stakeholders, so the Department for Work and Pensions, the Careers Hub, the National Career Service, all of those kinds of things. And we aim to bring them together around employers to have those conversations. And I really mean conversations. This isn't about saying, oh yeah, people today, they don't have the skills.
Uh-huh.
It's about, what do we need to do?
Yeah.
What are the things that are possible to learn in an education setting?
Yeah.
And where are the employers going to have to actually come forward and help?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm probably showing my age, but I did placements. I would spend, you know, weekend jobs, holiday jobs, all of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
We had lots of those.
Mm.
So you had a work ethic that you would have developed outside of mum and dad.
Yeah.
It's not as easy these days.
No, and there is some laziness happens in the job market.
Why do you think it's not so easy nowadays?
I think part of it is a lot of those little jobs have gone.
Yeah.
You know, newspaper rounds are harder to get.
Mm.
You don't have the local news agents that needs the Saturday boy, Saturday girl. You were saying about kind of local and all of those kinds of things, the local shops. Well, we have fewer of those, and they kind of... The other thing is that it's a lot harder to employ somebody.
The regulatory environment is...
Health and safety.
It's all kinds of things, isn't it? I mean, in terms of being... you know, making sure that people are protected. Unfortunately, a lot of that means, you know, a small news agent is going to go, do you know what, I'm not going to bother, I'm just going to get in the car and deliver them myself. Whereas when I was a kid, I had a newspaper round and a milk round simultaneously because I blagged the milkman into driving me round to deliver the papers and got paid twice, yeah? But, you know... but you can't do that kind of thing anymore. You know, the milkman couldn't take you in his throat because he's not insured and, you know, all kinds of stuff.
And to be fair, you now have age limits on what age you can do. Yeah, I mean, my first paper round, I was 11. I wouldn't be allowed to do it these days.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's those kinds of things. And that's one side. Mm. And the other thing is realising that we don't have a job for life. I mean, you are the example by excellence of the portfolio type career, but also the fact that we need lifelong learning.
Mm.
And providers are moving on to that.
Mm.
You know, you need to be able to train, to move on, to move up, to become a manager, to kind of have new skills. You come in with one set, that doesn't mean you're going to spend your career and just move in the same organisation. You're going to move around.
Absolutely.
And for that, we need skills throughout.
Yeah.
And that kind of element is really important. The other thing for me is you know, Kent and Medway is SMEs, and we say it all the time. But when you look at the stats, we have 79% of businesses in Kent are 0-4 employees.
Yeah.
81% in Medway.
Yeah. Mm.
And the national average is 78. 1%, 2%, 3% doesn't sound very much, but actually that's an enormous amount of companies.
Yeah.
And it means that you, when you're four in a business, having the headspace to think about skills is harder.
Mm.
So part of what we're trying to do is, where are the key needs and how can we make it easier? So we've worked with employers. So there was an LSTIP done in 2022. We were one of 8 trailblazer areas around the country that did one, mainly because we're really organised, I would say that. But Kent and Medway is interesting. We've got an ERB, so Employer Representative Body, which is what the chamber is, that covers the patch,
yep,
and that's useful. But also we've got 3 further education that works together,
yep,
and then we've got the Kent Association of Training Organisations that covers the patch as well. So you've really got that kind of common patch.
Yep.
So they'd identified construction as an area we have needs, because we are building quite a lot in this region, manufacturing and engineering,
yep,
and fresh food and food production, for lots of reasons, but that one is definitely there.
I mean, that's a huge Kent market as well.
Massive.
You know, we're going to talk to Danny later. You know, brewing, wine production, a whole new industry worth billions that suddenly sprung up over the last 50 years.
Mm. And need new skills.
Yeah, absolutely.
And need skills locally. You know, you don't want to be sending your people kind of across the country to be able to do things.
Yeah.
The other ones that we've added for this year are health and social care.
Yep.
We've got a focus at the moment on social care.
Yeah.
27% of the current Kent and Medway social care kind of workers that work on personal care are over 55, so retiring in the next 10 years or so.
It's almost impossible. I was saying off air, my old mum, I'm a carer for my mum, we have carers that come in 2 or 3 times a day, but I have to, myself and my sister have to do it on the weekends because there's no one available to do it on the weekends.
And even when they do come in, they're often 11 or 12 when she's been waiting to get help.
Yeah,
I
mean, because they're so busy, the 9 o'clock one doesn't turn up until 11, and a lunchtime one turns up at 2 o'clock. But that's the way it is, and how traffic is and everything around. But the recruitment of and the training of social care staff is a critical thing. All the industries that you've highlighted are all at the top of the pile. You know, to have a little bit of a moan to start with from way back when, a lot of industries stopped training people because they could import labour quite cheaply, and that has really come home to roost, where, you know, we're struggling now to have local people in jobs because we haven't been doing enough training in the past to get people here. So we need, you know, you're absolutely right, we need to up the training. We need. I don't know if you're aware, I do a programme in schools called 30-30, yeah, where I take 30 businesses in to meet A-level students to talk about the world of work. Because you hit the nail on the head earlier, Lucy, when you made a kind of side reference to it about business people that go, oh, the trouble with the youth of today. And that's where 30-30 sprung out of an argument like that, that said there's nothing wrong with the youth of today. They just don't know what's available anymore because, you know, the world of work is so diverse and changes so rapidly. And to be quite frank, we're not very good at careers teaching in the UK. So, you know, one of the reasons we did that, and we've now done 3,500 students through there. So I'm totally on board with what you're saying, and it is really crucially important.
It is, and that ties in really well with my final sector, which is education.
Right.
Because, for example, we all know about, you know, schools having issues recruiting.
Mm.
Further education colleges and independent training providers have great issues recruiting, especially in construction and manufacturing and engineering. Well, what did I say? We needed more skills on the beginning. So we're going to look into that. We'll probably expand on different sectors, but we're looking into kind of helping them what are kind of methods and all of those. And they've done some great stuff. We had there was some funding given by the Department for Education for capital.
Right.
So in Kent and Medway, there are 13 connected classrooms. It sounds like a kind of nice thing to have anyway, but those classrooms, you could be in one classroom in, let's say, Hadlow, so North Kent, with a tutor that's in Broadstairs,
right,
East Kent, and another class in Medway with big tent, and they're all connected. There's one tutor in one location, and they're all being able to interact. They can, for example, you say, okay, you're Group A in Broadstairs with Group A in Hadlow. You work on this whiteboard, and they're working together in right. two different locations. You have those kinds of things yeah. that are kind of being thought of and mm. things in technology, but technology isn't the only solution, but it's sure. one thing that's there. And the other thing that we really want to make sure is that we have those conversations, yeah. that we really involve people, mm. that we kind of make people understand that there isn't a pool of people waiting to be employed by you. They don't know what you're doing a lot of the time.
Yeah.
They need those experiences. They need the time. And yes, you're going to invest in Joe Blogs that comes replacement for 4-6 weeks mm. or even a day on some of the school ones.
Yeah.
And it might not be Joe Blogs that joins your company, but your company is going to start being known by the local schools, by the FE college. They're going to know a little bit more about what you need.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it needs to be that kind of interaction. Mm. It's not a I give this, I take that. It's mm. going to have to be a little bit wider, mm. but we need to work together.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And I kind of had a throwaway line a bit earlier about people being lazy. That's both sides of the equation. I'll give you a couple of examples. I'm launching a new business. I'm recruiting at the moment.
Do you have time for a new business?
No. it's driving me potty, but I'm recruiting quite a few people, and I'm recruiting in Sheerness. Okay. Don't bother to apply. We've had enough applications now. But I got an application from somebody in Aberdeen. And I thought, okay, all right. I went back. You do realise the job's in Sheerness? And he said, I could commute. No, you couldn't. No, you really couldn't. And the reason that's lazy is, and you know, I'm at fault here. It was my job site, yeah, Jobs in Kent, that he replied on. Because of job sites, people just apply for anything. Yeah, they see it, they apply. And then they don't look until after they've applied sometimes, and they apply for ridiculous things based on where they are, what they need. So that's one element of laziness, where people just scattergun their applications. But the other side of laziness is employers. Yeah, it drives me potty, the amount of employers that will put jobs on, and you go, sorry, you expect to recruit someone with that advert? and they go, oh, yeah, I'm offering a job. Yeah, but there's 1.2 million of them available, and you've got to compete for them. I spend a lot of time with especially small and medium-sized businesses saying, but you've got to tell people about your industry. You've got to tell people about why they should work for you. You've got to tell people what the career path is in your industry, not just slam a job on and hope someone applies for it.
And I think also we need to start thinking more about when do we need to recruit.
Yeah.
As employers, it's hard even in large businesses. I need somebody and I need it yesterday.
Yeah.
But I think that if we can do a little bit more of workforce planning, of kind of thinking about all of those skills, and that's skills that we can gain as businesses,
yeah.
To actually say, okay, well, the way the business is going, in 2 years' time, I'm going to need this person to be a manager. So if I put them on a high degree apprenticeship now at level five,
yeah.
or they're not there, so level four, then level five, and we'll continue, they will be ready to take on that management position when I need it in 2 years' time. Mm. But that needs planning.
Yeah.
If you don't do that, then you get to the point where you need that management, and your current workforce is really annoyed because they can't go for it because they haven't got yeah. the preparation, the qualifications, and all of those things. Mm. So there's really some real benefits to thinking about the skills agenda, although that word skills is starting to be a little overused everywhere, is to really engage with it, to think, how can that help me grow my business?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, somebody that already knows your business is going to be better than somebody who comes in new. Sometimes fresh eyes are great, and I should say that. I mean, I've only just arrived in this job, so, you know, I came last year. I've been around the chamber for quite a long time. but it's that kind of thing. And I think it's really important to start doing it. And one of the things, and the other thing that I'd approached you and said, can I kind of plug in some ways, is manufacturing and engineering. So we've all kind of, construction is a very organised sector. They, you know, they talk to each other, they have different groups. The Kent Construction Focus Group, I was there this morning, and all of those things. Fresh fresh food and food production, they've had to be organised. And if you've ever met Carol Ford, she organises them quite well, but also Growing Kent and Medway with East Morling Research and all the things that they've done. But manufacturing and engineering, it's a sector where you tend to stay within your business. You tend to kind of do your thing. Perhaps a little bit of supply chain stuff, but not that much. And what we wanted to do was just bring them together, because it's easier for me to have those conversations with a group of them than to have it a million times. So we created the Kent and Medway Manufacturing Focus Group. It had existed pre-COVID, but it really just petered off. They had other priorities. I don't know what those were in COVID. Possibly saving businesses and all those important things. But, you know, we wanted to start again. So we relaunched it in April, end of April. And we kind of have a meeting on the last Wednesday of every month. Usually 12 till 2, although the next one, which is at the end of July, is a little bit different. We're doing a site visit.
Right.
So we're going to go around the SEC Works Group, have you heard of them?
Yes. Yeah,
so they do coach works and they do kind of other things. So 10:15 with a lunch at 1 at McNaid's. So we're meeting at McNaid's and kind of going...
Because they're based in Faversham, aren't they, SEC?
Yeah, so SEC have a site in Faversham, they have a site in Dunkirk, and they have a site in Canterbury, so kind of...
Remind me
of
the owner, I know the South African chap. Yeah, Chris.
And so it's really fascinating what they're doing, but it's about kind of knowing what the local businesses are doing and just sharing amongst ourselves. And then we're doing an in-person at the end of August at the I can never say that word without saying it in French. So for those who have kind of twin, the very weird surname is French. And every now and then I still get stuck. So
mais oui.
Mercure, whatever
that is. Oh, you say it so well.
Great change. Yeah. And so all the details, if you just Google KMFG, you're on our website. But it's really important for me to bring those manufacturers together to discover that they have common issues. They have things in common, and also so that they can have a voice, because we're not going to be able to influence any policy things if they don't have
absolutely.
A voice.
Absolutely. Manufacturing and engineering is an interesting sector, especially if you hang out on social media. Because there's a million people in this country that believe we don't make anything anymore, and that drives me potty. Now, I've got lots of businesses, but none of them are in manufacturing or engineering, but... You know, I do know a bit about what goes on in this country, and so many people go, we don't make anything. What they actually mean is we don't build ships in giant shipyards anymore, and we don't really make many cars and things like that. But there's literally hundreds of thousands of smaller engineering businesses and specialist design companies and manufacturing businesses.
2,600 in Kent. They employ 52,000 people.
Absolutely, absolutely. There are some issues. You're absolutely right about not having a combined focus, and that's a lot of the reason why people don't know. There's a fantastic Twitter account on Twitter called Jefferson MFG, and every day they just post stuff about manufacturing, you know, new, but mostly big companies, obviously, you know, like so-and-so's just opened a factory in here and employed 1,000 people, that kind of thing. But it's the small engineering companies that are interesting, especially in Kent. One of the things that we have, which is a problem that manufacturing and engineering faces, is a lack of industrial units in Kent. I'm just opening a business park in Tenterton. We have class E planning, which enables us to have light industrial, and our very first tenant is a 3D printing company. So small manufacturer, been looking everywhere to try and find industrial units. We've actually got office units, but they can be used as industrial units, but it's a bit more expensive. But that, you know, there is a huge demand for it. And one of the things that strikes me about that is because the sector doesn't have a face of its own, those kind of things don't get put in front of the people that could make a difference, if you see what I mean.
Absolutely.
So people that develop space for things like that don't, you know, they don't think about doing it because they're not the ones that shout loudest, if you see what I mean.
They're not, and they're also not the ones that everybody says, oh yeah, that's the one I want on my doorstep.
Yeah, true.
I mean, that's the kind of thing. I think for those, it's also, you know, it's if your son, daughter comes to you and say, I'm going to go into manufacturing, you know, as a mum, I'm thinking, oh, drat, they're going to have to go somewhere else because
Kent and Medway is, you know, the Garden of England, and it doesn't have that. We have amazing manufacturing in Kent and Medway. Some really, really interesting things, some cutting edge stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's all kind of not visible. I mean, some of the scary stats that I also have, they'll need 21,000 new people in the industry before 2035. And officially, it's an industry that's contracting. It's getting smaller in this area, so with automation, with all of those kinds of things. They're fascinating jobs. You said 3D printing.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, when I was at school at UD, 3D printing, completely new. There's some really good stuff coming through.
Absolutely.
Some amazing skills. Some, you can be really cutting edge with those kinds of things.
It's an argument I have an awful lot as well. Years ago, I used to own a motor racing team, and when you go to car racing manufacturers, you know, specialist manufacturing companies, they have a very leading edge technology of the stuff they're building and the materials they're using. Most of it produced from tiny little companies based in the back end of nowhere, mostly in Milton Keynes, knocking out bits of equipment. But you say to people about engineering and manufacturing, and they think about lathes and, you know, cutting bits of metal, but there's huge amounts of software involved in engineering these days, and you know, very advanced materials, you know, Kevlar and all kinds of stuff that people make, and materials that they use, and materials they develop for manufacturing things. It's not the oil and greasy, noisy job that it used to be. It's a lot of it is, you know.
And with kind of different agendas, the automation agenda, the net zero agenda, it's an industry that's really moved forward. Mm. I mean, you see it on some of the things. I don't know if you've gone to the East Kent College Group has some new facilities with robots and things so the students can actually see what those are and learn on the real robots. And those are absolutely amazing with what they can do. But what do you need to be able to do that? You need to be able to program them. You need to be able to organize them. You don't need to be standing there and putting the kind of top on the toothpaste like my dad always said I'd end up doing if I wasn't careful at school. And those kinds of things. And also, it's the same for if you look at plumbing, for example, and construction. You know, we've all the green skills, the air source heat pumps, the brand new kind of things. What's the most important thing in those? Yes, the installation is essential.
Yeah.
How you program it, how it works, when does it work, when the sun's there, when the, you know what I mean, all of those kinds of things. And even in fresh food, so when you're looking at farms these days, they can pinpoint on a vineyard, for example, to take an example that works really well around here, they can kind of say, okay, we'll need to water because there hasn't been that much, but we'll only need to water that plant, not that one, that one, that one, because they know what the soil's doing, because they've got all of the sensors. Well, that is all IT skills. It then goes back to the same problem. You then have construction, manufacturing and engineering, fresh food, IT, because they do need kind of things. They're all looking for the same type of people with the same types of skills. Now, are we producing those kinds of things? And that's the kinds of volumes and things that we need to understand, and we need to work as employers with our training partners to be able to say that's what we need, and that's how we're going to help you to do that.
Absolutely. And again, you've hit half a dozen nails on the head there as well, in terms of the changing pattern of industries. Just talking about agriculture, around Kent, we still have, in the Garden of England, we still have a lot of fruit growers, just soft fruit and, you know, apples and pears and stuff like that. Some friends of mine own a huge apple farm out at Marden. I go down there, you know, years ago they used to moan about having people to pick stuff, and it was a kid's job that you used to do during the holidays. You'd all go and eat one, pick one, eat one, pick one. But they showed me the machines they've got for picking apples. They've got a machine that it wraps itself, it's like a giant inverse umbrella, wraps itself around a tree, shakes the tree, all the apples fill in the umbrella, and it moves off on its own.
Same with olives, isn't it? Olive picking and that. I've got a little cherry tree, and it's new, it's in Australia.
Do you automate it?
We've only
picked apples.
No, the birds just get them.
Oh, the birds do it for you.
We haven't had one. It's like we were waiting for them to ripen, and the birds didn't ripen to ripen.
No, they don't.
Very annoying.
But what fascinates me about those, though, is you have those, I don't know if you remember those kinds of cartoons where they'd invent
prevent that kind of thing that's going to shake the tree and all the apples kind of half break when they're there. All of that automation is done, and it's picked nearly more nicely than if I was doing it with my hands. It's just the way we've developed and all of those kinds.
And do they land in a net so they don't get bruised or?
No, she left a net.
How amusing. Yeah. Do they land in a net?
Well, kind of. It's
a
like,
vegetable?
It's like the one I've seen. I mean, there's lots of different methods. The one I've seen is like an upside down umbrella.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And it fixes itself around the tree and gently shakes it so that the fruit falls into this thing.
So it's a soft landing.
Yeah.
It's good. And so it's been an interesting journey for me. I've been in Kent for 24 years now. I came on the free movement in 1999,
did
a
you?
Long time ago. Well, yeah, but I had a French passport then.
But have you not got one now?
No, weirdly, yes, I still do.
You don't remember, do you?
No, not that. I can't remember. One of my passports has run out, but I can't remember which one. I own both. But when you talked about Kent, and I came from Dunkirk, so, you know, that's Dunkirk, France, and that's very industrial. You know, Coca-Cola plants, BP, you know, aluminium plants, all of those kinds of things. Really heavy industrial. And when you think about Kent and Medway, I really saw the garden bit more than that. And what's been interesting in the last 20 years is to see the diversity of Kent and Medway, the fact that it's very different from each of the areas. But also the potential.
Yeah.
There's so much potential in Kent and Medway, so much more potential for businesses to grow, for businesses to be supported, for businesses to have, you know, employees that can live in a beautiful part of the country, let's say.
Absolutely,
But at the same time, have kind of job opportunities. But for that, we need to keep the employers going. We need to upskill and reskill our existing workforce.
Absolutely.
And we need to have a new workforce coming in. You know, the other kind of elements that we look at, we're keeping a watching brief on, because things, you know, you can only have so many key sectors before you can't really focus on any of them. So transport and logistics and the creative industries. And I would say these sectors are not saying that any of the other sectors are not a focus. It's just those are the ones, especially the five top ones that I gave you, where there is a real potential crisis coming up. You know, the need is just not something that we can currently meet locally. And therefore, we need to support the local provision. And rather than bash your local college or your local independent training provider, how can we work together?
Absolutely,
to make sure
that
we have the right provision and that we infuse young people. I mean, I think one of the things that kind of you said to me is they don't know about those businesses here. They don't know about those career paths. And, you know, your career as advisory can be as good as you want. Enthusiasm doesn't come from your careers advisor.
No, absolutely. And they can't be on top of everything. They can't.
Absolutely.
They can't be on top of what the new things are in any industry. Yeah. You know, they can only have a helicopter view at best of what goes on. I'm a great one. I do a lot of work with Robert Richardson, who's the chief executive of the Institute of Hospitality. They're very keen about telling people about the career opportunities in the world of hospitality. But when I go into schools, you know, and I go, right, hands up, who would like to be the general manager of a hotel in Bali? And quite a few people go, yeah. I go, right, who's going to start as a porter in a hotel in Luton? And they all go, no. I go, well, that's where you start to get over there. Yeah.
I have a friend who's a general manager of a hotel in Bali.
Really?
You know where I met him?
Yeah, go on.
He was working at the truck stop in Ashford.
Really?
Wow.
He was working as one of the guys behind the counters serving the food.
Right, absolutely.
And he did. I mean, he did do. He did his hard graft. He knew where he wanted to go.
Yeah.
And that's where he went. But it is really true. You have to kind of have that. The other thing that I would say is, you know, we're not going to make it cool on, what is it? It's not Twitter now these days. What, Snapchat and all of those kind of newfangled things. It's much harder to make the kinds of jobs that we're talking about now cool on those channels. And not everybody is going to be able to be a YouTuber or other.
This is one of the huge things that we come across with the 30-30 program. When you ask young people what they want to do, you know, it's that they want to be footballers, musicians, actors, actresses, or YouTube influencers, or gamers.
I was just thinking about Victoria Beckham's son, one of them one of them Brooklyn or one of them that's decided he's a chef.
Yeah.
And he gets absolutely slated on Instagram and stuff when he's doing it.
Yeah.
Because he's grown up extremely wealthy.
Yeah, but
he's not going to do a boring old job, is he?
Yeah. But you know, but I don't castigate young people for that because it's all they see.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't have any information about anything else.
But then when you think about it, I mean, what did we want to be when we were kids?
Yeah.
All the things that we saw. So
yeah.
I think that's normal. The thing is that what happened after that is we got shown real jobs and the kind of things that were possible and all of those things. I mean, I'm very blessed. My 7-year-old decided she wants to be a vet.
Alexa,
how old she has to be to become a vet.
Right.
I have had to break it to her that there are lots of studies to become a vet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. I can do that. But I don't know many of her friends that kind of have that kind of vision. I don't think I had that when I was
young,
and I'll be perfectly honest.
I wanted to join a circus.
You should have done.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do. I thought I was going to, you know, work with the horses.
But she tried, but she couldn't grow a beard.
I wanted to work on a farm with cows.
Yeah.
I got to do it when I was 16, and I decided I wasn't ready. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Did that for 3 months, but decided that possibly wasn't the rest of my life.
So you and your daughter both love animals.
Oh, yeah. We're just
have you got animals?
We've got a cat. But yeah, we absolutely love animals. But it's that kind of thing of how do we inspire the next generation? What are the things that we can do to put employers in front of them to make sure that it happens? And I mean, the Careers Hub, all of those kind of organisations, the National Career Service, they do a great job. We need to support them as
absolutely employers. Lucy, we could talk about this forever.
Absolutely.
Sadly, we've got to join the Channel Radio newsroom in a moment, but thank you so much for that. Lucy Duren, Skills Program Manager of Kent and Victor Chamber, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about the incredibly important work that you're doing to help us grow the economy of Kent.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's a pleasure. I need to quickly read this before we join the newsroom. It is an email, but she tweeted it. So it's from Zeenat Narani, who actually does a show on a Friday morning on this station called Mindfulness. She says, 2 days to go before I have the honour of carrying the baton of hope, UK. The 6th of July at 12 noon outside the Royal Geographical Society building in London. The UK's biggest suicide awareness and prevention initiative the UK has ever seen, opening up necessary conversations and prompting appropriate actions, raising the profile of this issue like never before. Together to reduce the stigma and get better at asking questions, listening and directing people to the right help, together we can save lives. This means so much to me. I hope that you can join me on this day to mark the importance of suicide awareness and prevention. The Baton Tour started in Glasgow on the 25th of June and is making its way down to London Downing Street. Today the Baton is in Brighton and tomorrow it will be in London. The Baton of Hope has been and is being carried by notable personalities, leaders and people with their own inspiring stories of hope. Founders Mike McCarthy and Steve Phillip, along with their team and a number of volunteers, have been creating impact and hope where many are gathering to share their stories, and some for the very first time. This is the promise that Mike and Steve have made to their sons, Ross and Jordan, who sadly both took their own lives. And they are doing this for the thousands of sons and daughters who are lost each year. And she says, together, let's create a change. So do give Zeenat a follow on Twitter. Her Twitter handle is Zeenat, Z-E-E-N-A-T, underscore Narani, N-O-O-R-A-N-I, and find out more about her carrying the Baton of Hope on the 6th of July. And we're all rooting for you, Zeenat. Well done.
Well done, Zeenat.
Cool.
Well, how long have we got till the news?
2 minutes.
Okay, so Wayne Cunnington has tweeted, what a coincidence, Paul Andrews. He's used the Beebunker hashtag. He said, my mum worked for Church's, the shoemakers, as manager of their Kettering factory, building it up from nothing to a success. William Church presented her with a watch upon retiring, and they were great shoes at a great price too. And you can follow them at Will Church Shoes.
Fantastic.
And there's a lovely article
about
Wayne's mum.
Oh, I will read that later.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I've sent you the link on your WhatsApp.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Kim Stevens has tweeted, good afternoon, I'd love a business bunker shout out, please. This is following on from what we were talking about just now. Do you or your loved ones need care at home? Are you ready to get help? Give us a call on 01233 619530 or send an email to caringkent.co.uk. enjoy your day. So that's Kim Stevens of Care in Kent, looking for people that would like to work in the care industry in Ashford and Folkestone area. Thank you, Kim.
It's a shame. I'm looking at William Church's and they haven't tweeted since 2021.
Right.
It's a shame when you get a brand that stays on there but doesn't do anything.
Well, quite a few people kind of phase away from Twitter, don't they? Because it gets a bit oppressive, sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, people
they go on to Instagram, don't
people
they?
People get silly and it gets very political. Zina has tweeted as well. She says, looking forward to tuning in. This is earlier to the Business Bunker Show today with Paul and Jules. Finally getting to listening live as I'm not working, so I'm full of ears. Cool. Well, I hope you're enjoying the show, Zina. And
sure
we're going to join the newsroom. When we come back, we've got another fantastic guest to talk to.
She's only got two ears.
Well, how many do you normally have?
Well, she said she's full of them.
Yeah. Here we go. Anyway, thank you for that.
Yeah, what's happening?
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.